Welcome to the first Big Car podcast. In each episode, I talk about a car and go through its history from development, usually to its demise. In the first episode, we'll be talking about the Austin Metro. That's a very famous car in the UK. It's of some note on the continent, but for people outside of Europe, they probably have no idea what this car is. It's a car that signalled British Leyland's fight back against foreign Super Mini competition, but also cars produced in Britain like the Ford Fiesta that had taken the market by storm. If you want to watch these videos, then take a look at my YouTube channel. Just search for the same title as this podcast, Big Car. In fact, these podcasts are audio versions of those videos that I started making 5 years ago. Anyway, on with the show. It's 1975. And the newly created British Leyland Motor Corporation faces an enormous challenge. Petrol prices are skyrocketing, and customers are rushing to buy fuel-economical small hatchbacks like the Fiat 127 and Renault 5. British Leyland's own Mini, which created this category way back in 1959, is showing its age. It's too small, and it's less practical. Britain has just entered the common market, a forerunner of the European Union, and what British Leyland needs is a class-leading Super Mini of its own to take on the rest of Europe. What it doesn't have is the money to develop it. It's not like British Leyland hadn't thought of updating the Mini before. Sir Alec Isagonis, the creator of the original Mini, had started development of the 9X in 1967. This was a car designed not only to be more practical with its hatchback tailgate, but also simpler to manufacture, having less than half the individual parts of the original Mini. It died under political decisions in the newly created British Leyland, but showed there was plenty of room to improve on the original Mini. British Leyland took another look at updating the Mini in 1972 with the ADO74 concept. This was to be a clean sheet replacement, using all new body, engine, and suspension. Both marketing and management got behind this new project, as they expected this new bigger car would deliver bigger profits. But in the end, the project to make an all-new car was just too costly. British Leyland was hurtling towards bankruptcy, and the £130 million cost was just too much. It was ironically killed off on the eve of the October 1973 oil crisis. And so to the 1975 decision to greenlight the Super Mini project once more. British Leyland took lessons learned from ADO74 and applied them to the new clean sheet design ADO88. This time the whole company was united in making sure the cost of the project didn't spiral out of control. It was quickly decided to make do with the existing A-series engine from the Mini. Although an aging design from the 1940s, the A-series showed it was still suitable for a modern Super Mini. To improve it for the Metro, £30 million was spent taking modifications from existing Mini, MG and Cooper variants, while doing further improvements such as making it more rigid. This made the engine more fuel economical and meant the engine could go longer before needing a service. Another problem from the previous ADO74 project had been feature creep, each department adding their own requirements to the project until the car became a Frankenstein creation that didn't satisfy anyone. The team was committed to make sure the car didn't grow in size so it could hit the price point they were aiming for. However, with the increasingly lengthening development period, it meant the car had to be constantly updated as competitors introduced newer and better Super Minis of their own. ADO88 took an innovative approach to suspension, using the Hydrogas system from the Austin Allegro. Instead of conventional springs and dampers, the Metro used a ball of nitrogen gas and fluid to iron out the bumps on the road. It was a great design, and at the Metro's launch it gave the best suspension of all cars in its class, but it could have been so much better. The Hydrogas system was always designed to link the fluid from the front and rear suspension, giving a smoother ride, but this was removed due to cost cutting. The Metro would have to wait until 1990 until its suspension reached its true potential. The original brief had been to create a smaller car than the competition with the same interior space. With the innovative new suspension creating an open area interior, designers and management felt they were onto a winning vehicle. But with British Leyland's market share dropping, there was a sense of urgency to get ADO 88 into production as soon as possible. By 1978, the car was getting ready for production, but focus groups hated the design. With British Leyland's success riding on the new Mini being a hit, management brought in David Bache, who had recently styled the Rover SD1, to do a last-minute styling job. In just 5 weeks, he transformed a van-like design with straight sides and an almost vertical tailgate into the shape that launched. The team also worked on upgrading the interior comforts to make it compete with the competition. With so many changes, the codename changed to LC8, or Leyland Cars 8. Production geared up at a new £200 million robotic assembly line at a new dedicated factory at Longbridge near Birmingham, and the car was rushed through another set of exhaustive tests to ensure it was ready for the public. British Leyland employees were asked to choose the name and decided on Metro. However, once the name was announced, Metro Camel, makers of trains and buses, objected, meaning early Metros were badged as Mini Metro. It was launched with much patriotic fanfare, promising a British car to beat the world. The car was an immediate hit with the public. It quickly became the best-selling Super Mini, with famous owners like the future Princess Diana being widely photographed in it. By 1983, production hit a peak of 130,000 vehicles, with only the Ford Escort and Sierra outselling it. Fast forward to the mid-1980s, and a replacement Metro was already in the works. Austin Rover, as British Leyland was now called, had been working on highly fuel-efficient cars using the ECV3 test program, and these ideas were used in the Metro replacement codenamed AR6. The car was larger and would use the new K-series engine that was in development for the new Rover 200 series. It was to have an all-aluminium shell to save weight and would have a much lower drag coefficient, helping produce a car with excellent fuel efficiency. It failed to make it to market for the same reasons ADO 74 failed: lack of money. This was a complete redesign rumoured in the order of £500 million, and the government didn't want to give money to develop an all-new model when the recently released Maestro and Montego had been such a sales disappointment. They were eyeing to sell Austin Rover, and investment in new vehicles just wasn't on their mind. The Metro had received a minor facelift in 1984, but by the mid to late 1980s it was looking dated. The steep angle of the steering column meant the car drove like a bus, and competitors like the Peugeot 205, Vauxhall Nova and Ford Fiesta were roomier and drove better. The gearbox couldn't accommodate the fifth gear that was starting to appear in other Super Minis. With only limited funds available, the R6 program was started, which was an update to the car while keeping the same body. It received the much-needed new K-series engine and a fifth gear, plus the hydrogas suspension was finally connected front to rear, producing much better handling. Finally, the front of the car was lengthened to make the driving position more conventional. And so the marketers were given the job of selling the updated model. Since 1987, the Austin name had been dropped, and the Metro was simply known as Metro. For the 1990 R6 launch, the marketers wanted something clearer, so went with the Rover Metro in the UK and Rover 100 on the continent. This cheapened the Rover brand somewhat, but helped give the Metro a boost in prestige in the competitive Super Mini category. The new model was well received by the press, heaping praise and awards on the diminutive car, and going on to win What Car's Car of the Year in 1991. Despite being one of the smallest Super Minis on the market, sales were strong, indeed stronger than Austin Rover had been expecting, and remained strong into the 1990s. There were to be no more major updates to the Metro. Management were eyeing the new Mini replacement, which was to hit the roads in 1998, and felt the car could die a natural death. In 1995, the Metro got another minor facelift and another rebadging to make it the Rover 100 in line with the rest of Europe. But this update marked the beginning of the end. The Metro had been lauded as having a high safety rating when it launched in 1980, but despite gaining additional side protection and airbags, cars have become much, much safer. In 1997, the Metro received a disastrous one-star rating in the Euro NCAP safety testing report. And this report made headlines in all the papers, calling the little car a death trap. Sales dried up and the Metro production ended at the end of 1997 after 17 years. Although it was designed as a replacement for the venerable Mini, the Mini ended up outlasting it by 3 years before being reborn by BMW. However, the Metro can be seen as a great success. Almost 1.5 million cars were sold, making it the 10th most popular car sold in the UK, according to the Society of Motor Manufacturers. It was likely the first car many people drove while trying to pass their driving test, me included, and will be fondly remembered for years to come. Well, I hope you enjoyed that dive into the Austin Metro. If you like these podcasts, then tell your friends, or tell anyone really. And again, if you want to see these podcasts, take a look at my Big Car YouTube channel. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.